Amen. So tonight we continue in our fellowship. We will go on to keeping the feast prepared by God for our enjoyment.
Amen.
Amen. This morning, there was shared concerning all the wonderful offerings that Christ fulfilled as the reality in the New Testament. And all these offerings are so practical, and we need to apply them in our daily life.
Amen.
And if we labor and gain such a wonderful Christ, then whenever we come together to the Lord's table meeting, we will surely have a rich feast together with the Father. Because our hands would not be empty. We would have our hands full.
Amen.
And this is a matter of, as it was just shared, is a matter of practice, not just some knowledge for us to gain, because we need to apply them in our daily life and for the church life. And so it's really important for us all to get into this together. And may the Lord make us faithful and diligent in preparing all the offerings. And I very much now look forward to every Lord's Table meeting. I've been attending Lord's Table meeting for so many years. And then after a while, we got into a tradition of just relying on songs and one after another until our voice is no more. And we wonder really how much the Father is satisfied by that. Yeah. And we wonder why the condition of the churches are going downwards. This is a very important matter that the Lord needs to recover among us. Yeah. And in the church life, they can't just be a few who bring everything, right? That's not possible. All the members of the body needs to be laboring together. This is God's desire. So God's wonderful arrangement is so that all of us would be changed. Right? He doesn't just want a few in the front to be changed. He wants all of us. That's why he asks all of us to bring something to satisfy him. As the Lord spoke in Revelation, the Spirit is speaking to the churches, and he who has an ear, let him hear. And the Lord needs, as the song we sang tonight, overcomers, those who will overcome the degraded situation and repent and turn and say, Lord, you're right. We're wrong, right? Our situation is really as you have said. We are dead. We are losing our first love. And we need to repent. And if we repent today, there is an opportunity for us to be the overcomers that we may all gain the reward. So, as we have seen, let's read some verses together first. In Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. Let's read from verses 14 to 17.
Three times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded you, at the time appointed in the month of Abib. For in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field, and
and the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, when you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field. Three times in the year all your males shall appear before the Lord God.
Amen.
Amen.
So, the Lord charges us, three times we shall keep a feast to him in the year. And this is very sovereign of the Lord. And the question was asked, why three times? And the answer is, there are three harvests in a year. We have four seasons, right? There is the spring, the summer, the fall, and the winter. And as we all know, in the winter, nothing grows. So there is no harvest. But there is a harvest in the spring, right? And then there is a harvest in the summer. And then there is the harvest in the fall. So the Lord very wisely asked us to three times a year, springtime, summertime, and the fall time, to bring a rich harvest to him. So this is this means we need to learn to labor. Amen. For the harvest. And we believers are now all farmers. Right? When you became a believer, Jay, you probably didn't know that the Lord also made you a farmer. We all need to be faithful farmers. Yes, that's right. Heavenly farmer. That's right. The best farmers. Yeah, not the field that's on the earth, but the heavenly Christ, the rich good land.
Amen.
That he has given to us. Yeah. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, Paul says, therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. And then he goes on to say, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Verse 8, therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Amen.
So notice this phrase, let us therefore keep the feast.
Amen.
Yeah, in Exodus, the Lord says, you shall keep a feast.
Amen.
And Paul says in Corinthians, therefore let us keep the feast.
Amen. Right?
So this is so marvelous, the Bible. You know, I really confess before the Lord, I've been a Christian for a long time. I never saw this until recently. Yeah. It is really amazing how consistent the scripture is. Right? When I was reading the Word in my younger days, I always start from Genesis and then Exodus. And then when I got to Leviticus, oh, it's so hard. So hard to understand. Sometimes I just fall asleep. Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And then after that, then it gets to be a little bit more interesting. And I never really understood why. And all those books are so long. Each chapter has so many verses. And I thought, wow, why? 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 Not until last year I realized, wow. This is marvelous. And we have not seen this. Therefore, we don't practice them. And some calls it useless. This is not right. Just because we didn't see it doesn't mean it's useless. We need to pray. Father, give us spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Right?
We need to see this. We need to confess before the Lord, Lord, I am still blind. Especially in coming to your word. And if we would see the light in God's Word, we would realize how important everything is in the Scripture. And the Lord is extremely consistent from Genesis to Revelation. He doesn't speak one thing in from Genesis to Malachi and then speak something completely different and then just throw away everything. Paul never did that, right? Peter never did that. We read Peter was very concise on verse 5. Right? All the apostles have seen this. Right? This is something that the Lord is really showing us. And I'm really excited. Really cannot wait to get into all the rich and wonderful feast. And as we have seen, feast is something that God has prepared for us to enjoy. Right? And we saw that chart earlier. It's the feasts are from God down to us. And the offerings, the burnt offering, meal offering, peace offering, those offerings are prepared by us. It's our enjoyment of Christ, and then they are food for the Father. Right? So it's wonderful to see this heavenly traffic. Right? The Lord will never demand anything that He doesn't supply us. Right? As the law of supply and demand. The Lord is not such a mean taskmaster. Just bring me. But He gives us nothing. Right? No. He gives us seven wonderful feasts for us to enjoy. And if we enjoy them, we will surely have something to bring to the Father.
Amen.
So in the spring, you have the Feast of the Passover, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of the First Fruits. And in the summer, you have the Feast of the Weeks, or the Feast of Pentecost. And all these four feasts are accomplished by the Lord in His first coming, from the time that He was incarnated all the way to His ascension to the throne. And then in the fall is the last harvest of the year. Right? It's also called the Feast of the Ingathering. We just read that in Exodus 23. And so the Feast of the Ingathering is composed also of three feasts. The Feast of the Trumpets, which is on the first day of the month. And then the Feast of the Atonement, it's on the 10th day of the month. And then the Feast of the Tabernacles, which is on the 14th day of the month. This is really marvelous. We're just beginning to scratch the surface here in Fountain Valley. And the more we are getting into it, the more we realize, wow, these feasts are marvelous. Right? So, as we heard, and as we know, these last three feasts will be accomplished at the second coming of the Lord.
Amen.
There will be a gathering. Yes, at that point, everything is completed. This is really a marvelous way that God presents His wonderful purpose from the time that He was born all the way to the end times. And we see this in the book of Revelation. So Christ is the reality of all these feasts that's described in Leviticus chapter 23.
Amen.
Firstly, there is the Feast of the Passover.
Amen.
Amen. And as I share this in Fountain Valley, in the past, my concept was the Passover is in the past and it's over. But certainly that's not the case. The more we enjoy the Feast of Passover, the more we realize the Feast of Passover is very much present and up to date. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, He is our Passover Lamb. And He was slain for our redemption. And this is a very important matter. When we come to the Lord's table, we need to have this fresh appreciation that we are no longer in Egypt. And that we are so thankful that the Lord has redeemed us from the power of darkness. And He has delivered us from this present evil age. Right? This is really important for us to enjoy today. Yeah. Whenever I come to the table, I'm so appreciative I am no longer out there in the world, slaving away every day for Pharaoh. But I am now in God's house, building something that will satisfy the Father. We have much to praise the Lord about. And we need to appreciate this more and more. We are still being delivered today. Every day we need to be delivered. Every week whenever we come together, we need to thank the Lord. Thank you for delivering me this past week out of so many situations. Yeah, especially out of the authority of the darkness and this present evil age. Many of you who have lived for a few years longer, we can tell this age is becoming more evil every day. It's not the same in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, and nowadays many of us can't even recognize. It's really evil. And our young people need to realize this. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed. This is really appreciation of the Lord as our Passover feast.
Amen.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 5, 7, we just read them. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. The feast of the Passover is not just in the so-called Old Testament. It's very much for us to enjoy today. That's why Paul brings this out in 1 Corinthians. And it is really important that we keep this feast. Galatians 1, verses 3 and 4 says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins. In the past, we stopped there. Thank you, Lord. You gave Yourself for my sin. Oh, thank the Lord. My sins are forgiven. And then we just stop. We don't go on to the rest of the verse. What's the rest of the verse say? It says that He might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Yes, we need to experience this. Right? When we come together to the Lord's table, we need to rejoice. Thank you, Lord, that I have been delivered this week from this fashion of this age, from all the current of this age that's bringing all the humanities downward. We are going upstream. Yeah, this is really an enjoyment of a wonderful feast. And then the feast of the unleavened bread. In the church in Fountain Valley, when we got into this feast, we realized, whoa, there's a lot here. At first, we were just going to move on after a couple of weeks. And then we realized, oh no. There's a lot here. And we end up spending, I think, more than a month. Yeah. Yes. And we got into all the details regarding so much leaven, so much of the works of the flesh that the Lord needs to deal with. And every one of them became so practical. And the more you get into it, the more there is. Yeah, just go back and look at all the verses. We realize, wow, there's a lot. And the most, almost all those verses are in the New Testament. It's present for us to enjoy. Yeah. So the main point here is that the Lord Jesus Christ, as we shared this morning, He is the true bread, the living bread that came down from heaven.
Amen.
And the most important thing for us is we need to eat this bread.
Amen.
Yeah. Don't just study it, analyze it, look into it, check the concordance, look up Google, eat God's word. Right?
Amen.
If we do all that and we don't eat it, we will still be dead. The Lord came down as a living bread. The more we partake of Him, the more His humanity is worked into us. And we will be transformed. We will be changed. I testify, when I was in junior high, high school, I got into God's Word, and I just love the Word. I devour it. I put it right next to my pillow. I wake up in the morning, I will read them. Go to school, I will read them. Come home from school, I will read them. And because of that, I was saved from this present evil age. We need to continue to do this. Right? The more we eat God's word, the more we are filled. Not only we are changed, but then even our mind is renewed. And so many things like what has been shared will become so fresh and so living to us. And we will be able to apply them and enjoy them. And the second main item is we will be purging out all the leaven from us. This is really important. When Paul was speaking to the church in Corinth, they were full of leaven and they didn't realize it. And it's really important that we see this. Leaven comes from our flesh, our old man, our old manner of life. And when you got baptized, your old man was buried with Christ. And you put on the new man. And now we need to daily experience this reality. Right? Putting off the old man, crucifying the flesh with his passions and desire, saying no to the flesh. And putting on the new man. This needs to be enjoyed by us daily. This is a wonderful feast.
Amen.
Yeah. And we need to eat of this. 1 Corinthians 5:8. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Yes. Don't try to keep the feast with the old leaven. This is not going to work. Because the old leaven is full of malice and wickedness. This is directly from the bottom of the pit. Those things do not belong in the church. What we need is the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We need to sometimes speak the word, speak the truth in love. Because the Lord cares for us, and He does not want us to go astray. And this is a wonderful feast. And we enjoy this feast every time we see the bread on the table. How marvelous it is to break the bread, to partake of this unleavened bread, and to have all the leaven being purged out of us. And as we also saw, we need to eat this leaven, unleavened bread 7 times. 7 days. 7 days, yes. Not just one day, because one day there's still more leaven. Do it 2 days, 3 days, 7 days. until all the leaven is purged out of us. Yes, this is really our experience today. And then Christ is also the feast of the first fruits. And currently we are in the feast of the first fruits here in Fountain Valley. And as we got into this more and more, we also realized, wow, this is very practical, right? This is experiencing Christ as our resurrection life. Christ, he is the first fruits in resurrection. And he is the firstborn from the dead. And this is typified by barley, which is the first grain to ripen in resurrection. And so 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, tells us very clearly, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man, capital M, also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, those who are Christ at his coming. I also, I've read 1 Corinthians 15 many, many times over the years. And I always in the past just concentrate on 1545b. The last Adam became the life-giving spirit. But I never realized there were all these other verses that talks about the first fruits. Yeah. Really. You can be in the church life and still be blinded. And this is my experience. So may the Lord have mercy on us. Yeah. We need to experience the feast of the first fruits. For many of us, we go through different forms of death. And death is extremely real. It comes in many different forms. And we need to learn to be aware of what that is. And learn to experience the Lord's resurrection power. And when death is coming upon us, we need to say, no, no more, right? Because death has no more dominion over Christ. And because we are in Christ, death also has no more dominion over us. But we need to rise up. Yeah. This is again the experience of baptism. We are risen with Christ. And therefore we should walk in newness of life. Today we need to learn to be those who walk by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit, so that we would not be up and down, that we would be those who live in resurrection, as Paul says. Right? He wants to know. That means he wants to experience the power of his resurrection. Yeah, this is because Paul wants to be a first fruit. And not only he wants to be the first fruits, he is sharing all these verses to us, not as a pressure, but as an encouragement. Right? Otherwise, he just keeps it to himself. Right? Only I can make it. None of you can make it. No, he never has that attitude. Right? He is sharing it so that we all can make it. If it's so difficult to be the first fruits, then why would the Lord share that with us? It surely the Lord wants us all to make it, right? And it's not that difficult as long as we cooperate with Him. And then there is the Feast of the Weeks, which is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And this occurred 7 weeks from the Passover. That's why it's called the Feast of the Weeks. And it also happens to be on the 50th day. And the the day of the Pentecost, the 50th day. And it's exactly 10 days after the ascension of Christ to the throne. And this feast is really important for us to experience for the spreading of the gospel and also for the establishment of the church. This happened there in the book of Acts, chapter 2, in verse 41. And Acts 2 says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." This is the reality of the Feast of the Pentecost. And it was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. It's not the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's the Holy Scripture. The more the Lord speaks to us, the more it becomes very clear. The entire Scripture is about the feasts. And it's about the offerings. It's about worshiping our Father. Yeah. It's everywhere. This is what happens, you know. It's just like when we saw the matter of the kingdom, right? And all of a sudden you read everywhere it's all about the kingdom. And now the Lord is revealing more concerning the feasts and the offerings and the priesthood, and now everywhere it's all about this. This is why the Bible is so wonderful. Yeah. And the Lord has yet more riches to show us if we are faithful to follow Him. Yeah. We have to be very thankful. And then there is the Feast of the Trumpet. Amen. This is really important. It's a silver trumpet. And trumpet, as we know, is for the gathering of God's people at the end of this age. You know, at home, I have a silver trumpet. Unfortunately, I haven't been blowing it for a long time now. So if I blow on it now, probably just some strange noise will come out. And but praise the Lord, I also have another real silver trumpet. And this one, I've been blowing it. Right? And we need to continue to blow it so that the sound would come out very certain, right? Very clear and very loud. It's for the gathering of God's people. To call them to come out of Babylon as a warning, unless they share in her judgment. This is very clear in Revelation 18, verse 4. It says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people." Yes. I can't believe that this was just like whispered. Come out of her. Oh, it must be like a trumpet that was heard all over the entire earth. Come out of her, my people. Lest you share in her sins. Lest you receive of her plagues. We are so thankful that the Lord has brought us into the proper church life. The Lord has had mercy on us. But it's not just for us. It's now for us to really sound out this trumpet, so that the Lord could gain Jake and Kyle and many, many more, right? Many seeking Christians in Orange County needs to hear this. so that they could be gathered by the Lord. Yeah, but unless we sound out the trumpet, no one would be able to hear this. Right? So we need to blow and experience the feast of the trumpet. And then there is the Day of Atonement. This is a call to God's people to be fully reconciled to God. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We had a big lunch, so all the blood is going to our stomach. Maybe we could read these verses, keep us awake. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 20. Amen. Let's read them together with a strong spirit. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 20. Amen. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Amen. This is the way to practice the Day of Atonement. Right? Be reconciled to God.
Amen.
The person that we need to be reconciled first and foremost is to God. Yeah. Unless we are reconciled to God, all the other reconciliation is useless.
Right?
Don't talk about all these other unless we are reconciled to God.
Right?
And what best way to be reconciled to God than to feast on what he has prepared and to bring the offerings to him.
Amen.
This is our way to be reconciled to God as our Father. Yeah. And in this matter, there is also the afflicting of our souls by denying the self, picking up the cross to follow him.
Yeah.
This will take another conference just to share all this. We're just giving you, stirring up your appetite, right? So that we can all get into it. We just don't have time. Last and not least is the Feast of the Tabernacle, right? And this is a feast to remind all of God's people that after God led them out of Egypt, they dwell in booth. In the wilderness for 40 years. This really should be our experience today. Today, we should not be anchored in to this world. Our citizenship, as we share, is in the heavens. We are just pilgrims and sojourners. We are just passing through. So, our dwelling is in the heavenly Jerusalem. We are God's heavenly people. Right? So, we need to experience and enjoy the Feast of the Tabernacle. Yeah, the Lord needs to constantly remind me of this. The more stuff we build up, the more it weighs us down. And when we are going to be with the Lord, we can't bring all that with us. We don't need to bring all that with us. They're useless. Right? In fact, they will weigh us down. And if we are just so preoccupied with stuff, they're just stuff. Right? You open your room, oh, so much stuff. Right? We accumulate things over the years. Right? We need to ask the Lord, Lord, get rid of all these stuff, right? All the stuff that's not necessary. we really only need a few things for our living. We don't need a whole lot of other things. Yeah, we don't plan to stick around here for a long time. Yes, right. We're just pilgrims. Right? If imagine the children of Israel in their booth, you open up, wow. And then the Lord says, go. Oh, my goodness. I have to call the U-Haul. Right? Yeah, there's no U-Haul to help you. Right? There's no moving company. They can't go. Yeah. Today we need to
call the scavengers.
Yeah. Take them away. Yes. In Hebrews chapter 11, is very good. Many of you have read these verses. I'll just read them to you again from verse 13. Hebrews 11, verse 13. Concerning so many who have gone before. It says, these all die in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
Amen.
For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland.
Amen.
And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better. Amen. That is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Oh, we want to be in that city.
Amen. Right?
The city that God has prepared for us. One day when we meet the Lord, may he not be ashamed to call us their God, or his God. Our God. Right. My God. Your God. Right.
Our God.
Yeah. This is really important. Right? Because we have been worshiping him properly with the way that he has asked. Right? Otherwise, I don't know what he would say. So today, as we have seen, Christ is the reality and the fulfillment of all these seven wonderful feasts. So Colossians 2:16-17, let no one judge you in food or drink regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Praise the Lord. So he came and he fulfilled all these wonderful feasts. So today we are enjoying all these wonderful feasts. Yeah, so that we would not come empty-handed, that we would all appear before the Lord three times a year. Now today, the first four feasts is the Lord's table meeting. Right? The Passover, the unleavened bread, the first fruits, and the Feast of the Weeks. So when we come to the Lord's table, each week we are enjoying these four feasts. And then at the end of the age, there will be those three feasts that the Lord will gather. That's why it's called the Feast of the Ingathering. It's so good to see the Word in such a clear way. And may the Lord help us to really enjoy these wonderful feasts.
Amen.
They are really for our enjoyment.
Amen.
And if we would take the time to enjoy them, then our Christian life will be full of meaning, because we will be serving and worshiping the Father according to his desire.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would not be a pressure at all for us to bring something. It would be our pleasure,
yes,
and not a pressure, right? And therefore, the Father will say, well done, my beloved, well done. Yeah, enter into the marriage feast. So this is the Lord's calling for us. And may we learn to enjoy all these seven feasts. Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wrong spelling.
Yes. That's right. Amen. Yes. Enjoyment.
Amen.
Yes.
If you turn to Hebrews chapter 12 again.
Amen.
Very quickly. Concerning coming to Zion.
Yes.
You've come to Mount Zion, yep. To the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem.
Verse 22.
To an innumerable company of angels. Even angels were there. They loved,
yeah,
to watch us.
Yes. Oh, yes.
It's such a wonderful thing, right?
Yeah, of course.
What I want to call to your attention is in verse 23, it says to the general assembly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a footnote there? Or a note?
What
did it say?
Festal gathering.
What?
Festal gathering.
What?
Festal gathering.
What's a festal?
I don't know.
You don't know.
Not familiar with that word.
Festival.
Enjoyment.
Enjoyment.
Of
life.
It's a festival. Feast. A festival.
Yeah. Yeah.
Festival.
Festivity.
Feast.
That makes sense.
Yes.
That's what we do in Zion.
Yeah.
We keep the feast.
Amen.
What are you going to do in Zion? Be a tourist. Looking around. To look at the nice meeting hall there. Oh, wonderful meeting hall. Wow, what a blessing from God. You have a nice meeting hall. Just like the apostles telling the Lord Jesus, look how beautiful. Wow, look at that earthly temple. How beautiful. So what if you have a nice meeting hall? What do you do in that nice meeting hall? Preach, give a sermon, a dead message. Are you really keeping the feast? Every time God's people come together, they should be keeping this wonderful feast. And there's so much to keep. Even half hour is really not enough, but you know, we can have 3 or 4 hours,
yeah,
if you want to. But you know, the Lord's table is truly the replacement of all these wonderful feasts.
Yes.
Can you imagine 3 times a year when they all came together to Jerusalem? And that was what a wonderful festivity.
Yes.
You don't know that word.
Festal.
Festal. Oh, yeah. But anyway, it's written. Right?
Now I know it.
No. Well, it really is a festival, a gathering of God's people to keep this wonderful feast. Otherwise, what are we doing here? Oh, louder. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. We don't have a loudspeaker somewhere, right?
Yeah.
We'll set it up.
Don't worry about it. We just have a few people here. We don't need it. Right? So, you can really see that keeping the feast is very important. If there were no feast, can you imagine? No feast, all of these 7 feasts were non-existence, then they don't even have to come to Jerusalem.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Mm-hmm. What is the occasion of coming to Jerusalem?
Keep the feast.
Huh? Feast?
Yes.
So if there is no feast, no reason to come. No? Of course it is. if there is no feast, if there is no lectures, no professors, nobody's giving any lectures at the university, what do you go there for? You can sleep at home here in Fountain Valley. You don't need to go to San Diego to sleep. The most wonderful thing when we come together to Zion is to enjoy this wonderful feast. Take the feast away, there's no reason for us to come. And that's why God told them to come to Jerusalem three times a year. Some brothers, telling these young brothers, all you talk about these days is offering, 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 and feast, feast, and feast, and feast, and offering, and feast, and offering, and feast. And she said, that's right, do you take this away? We have nothing left. What do you want to do? Yeah. Just sing and sing and sing and sing and sing and sing and then dead teaching and dead teaching and dead teaching and dead teaching and sing and sing and sing and dead teaching and dead teaching. And is that what you want?
No way.
Somewhere in one of those places, one of the leading brothers says, our meeting is so dead because of our dead teaching. And yet they will not take the way of offering. So from now on, they just have one row of seats, because there are not too many there. And just let each one share what they enjoy. The verse you enjoy, the verse he enjoys, the verse you enjoy. And you think it's going to be more living like that?
Get better.
If we don't take this living way of the worship, I don't care how you arrange your chair. You change from one preacher to so many small preachers there. You share what you enjoy in that verse. You share what you enjoy in that verse. Why use that so-called method? The offering is not a method. But the way you practice, I practice preaching a dead message on Sunday morning. That's a method. The traditional method. Then you go, you change it from, no more one person giving a dead message, and then you have 12 people there sitting, each one share a little bit of your dead enjoyment, whatever. It's also another method. Why not take God's way? Is it then so hard? Is it really so hard? Why is our heart so hardened? We will not take the Lord's way. Are the feasts so terrible?
Quite the contrary.
Are the offerings so terrible?
No.
Really? Tell me, really. Is it so terrible? It's so wonderful. Right. The only regret we have is that we haven't learned and perfected yet.
Yeah, right.
So that each one of us will bring such a wonderful, sweet aroma of an offering offered up to the Father. I want to be a good spiritual cook.
Amen.
A cook, a wonderful lamb.
Amen.
For the Father to enjoy with sweet aroma. The Father will The Father would be so happy and enjoy this wonderful sweet aroma to him and prepared by all these wonderful saints. Did not Paul say, we are a sweet aroma of Christ to the Father? And because we are such a sweet aroma to the Father, the people surrounding you will... I really got the appetite to do the same, right? You're getting hungry. You're going to have hunger. If you think you're so full and you... All of a sudden, you're hungry to have the same enjoyment, right? Isn't it true? Yeah. Good. Right. Our brother has a right profession. He's a good cook. He's a good cook. I want to also be a good cook. Heavenly spiritual cook. Why not? Why not? Why don't we learn and practice and exercise? But all these feasts are so wonderful. To tell you the truth, for many years already, I've always been bothered by our Lord's table, especially singing so many songs. And I have been telling brothers, including yourself here, how many songs did the Lord sing? How many songs do we sing? 100. And then we have a lot of methods. Before the Lord's table, we'll have one person who actually don't even like to speak of, but hey, you come and prepare next Sunday before the Lord's table. You say a word about, would you like to do that? No, I'm the elder. I appoint you to do it, okay? Next Sunday is your turn.
That's called pressure.
So poor brother. I have to prepare, and he didn't know what to prepare. And everybody was singing, and maybe the singing was even wonderful and so high. Then he stood up, and... Well, brothers and sisters, I'm not quite sure what to say, but... all of a sudden, it was a silence like in a funeral.
It's true.
And after you sat down, then we have to crank up the atmosphere again. You think that's not a method? Sorry, brothers, that's a dead method. It bothers me. But hey, if you want to do such a method, do it. It's up to you. But you know, why? Why? At least tell me, where is it written?
Yeah.
Your dead method, it's not written there. But offering and feast, the whole Bible talks about it. And you says the feasts and the offerings are methods. And what you're doing, it's not even in the Bible. And that's right. So I've been asking the Lord for so long a time, Lord, how do we celebrate this wonderful feast at the Lord's table? Then the Lord opened my eyes. The Lord's table is actually the sun, the totality of the reality of the, all these wonderful feasts.
Amen.
Amen.
Some brothers some time ago right here even teach you have to weep.
Yeah.
Oh goodness. If you go to a feast, a birthday party, let's say, or a wonderful celebration, a festival, and you're weeping there. Do you see anybody weeping in the festival?
Not usually.
Not usually. Of course not usually. But when I heard somebody says, you have to weep. You have to weep. And if you praise the Lord, you have no respect for His suffering and death. Tell me, do you weep that Satan was fully destroyed and sin taken away on the cross through the Lord's death on the cross?
No way.
No way. Well, are you weeping that Satan was destroyed? Are you weeping that sin was taken away? Are you weeping that the Lord says, it is finished? Huh?
Rejoice.
And much more when He rose from the dead.
Amen.
None of the disciples, when they saw the Lord again, Lord, you died, you suffered so much. None of them did that. They're all so happy, rejoicing. Wow! He rose again! They were so excited.
Amen.
Wasn't it true? And not only that, and they saw Him. They were flabbergasted. The angel had to tell me, hey, wait. Don't worry, He's coming back. He's coming back.
Yes.
At this very same spot. What would you sing when you were there? You would be, amen, hallelujah. You would be beside yourself.
Yes.
Wouldn't you? Well, we will all be beside ourselves. And this is a wonderful feast that we are celebrating.
Amen.
From His incarnation all the way to His ascension and to His coming back again. Look how wonderful He is going to come back again.
Amen.
Look how wonderful He is. Are you going to weep that He's coming again? You better not. And on top of that, He poured out the Holy Spirit to fill you with Himself.
Yes.
Actually, the Holy Spirit is Christ.
Yes.
Now the Lord is that Spirit. So what are you crying about? We all need to have a wonderful revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That He is this wonderful festival for us to celebrate.
Amen.
That's why when God's people came together to Zion, it's feast, 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 and feast, and feast, and feast.
Amen.
How many?
Seven.
Seven feasts.
Yeah. Amen.
And then after the feast, it's offering, 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 and offering. Oh, my goodness. If you don't like it, that's your problem. Right? You don't want to do it, nobody's forcing you. But why do you force people not to do it?
Right.
So who is lawful? Who is awful? who is awfully lawful? May the Lord open our eyes.
Yes.
To really see that, like our brothers shared tonight, the whole Bible is full of offering. The whole Bible is full of feasting.
Yes.
And full of the kingdom.
Yeah.
Right, Mercy?
Yeah.
Mercy, after the kingdom conference came back, he says, everywhere I've read in the Bible is about the kingdom.
It's true.
I've been going to so many denominations and places for over 40 some years,
yes,
and I never saw it. But now, the kingdom is everywhere in the Bible. But some people are not happy. That's just knowledge. Mercy. Huh?
Not all over is offering.
That's another wonderful knowledge. And they're not happy because we are ha 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 in Fountain Valley. Well, what are you going to do? In Fountain Valley, are you going to do that?
No.
Do you prefer that or do you prefer to rejoice? We rejoice. Because the Bible never tells us to weep always. But the Bible tells us to
rejoice always.
Always. So we are ha 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 here. We are not.
And again I say,
rejoice. Right? Aren't you glad that you're here rejoicing?
Amen.
Enjoying all these wonderful feasts.
Yes.
And bringing this wonderful food for God.
Amen.
And while we are enjoying this wonderful feast, again, let me just tell you, the last three feasts are for us to really enjoy for the preparation of His coming and for His coming.
Amen.
You don't just sit there and doing nothing. You blow your trumpet. Be it preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Sharing the truth to people.
Amen.
Sharing all these wonderful mysteries of the kingdom.
Yes.
And the feasts.
Yes.
And the offerings.
Amen.
And the true worship.
Amen.
Coming out of Babylon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Knowing God's plan and purpose, if you don't tell people, who's going to tell them? Don't put your trumpet there somewhere, lock up in a safe. Trumpets are meant to be blown.
Yes.
And we all need to blow this wonderful trumpet. Right, and that is the way. And tell the Lord, hey, the Lord is coming back again. You better repent and be reconciled to God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Be reconciled to God.
Amen.
According to the Bible, if you sin, tell me, when David sinned, who did he sin against? He sinned against who? He killed somebody, right? What's his name?
Uriah.
Uriah. Poor guy. David really sinned against him, right? And then David took his wife. Oh, poor wife. What's her name?
Sheba.
Bathsheba. Oh, everybody remember these three names. So David sinned against Bathsheba by killing his wife. And sinned against Uriah, not only killing, putting him to death in a battlefield, and took his wife. What does Psalm 51 say? It's against you alone.
Yes.
You don't offend me. If you don't want to offer sacrifices, you think you're offending me? That's why I can still smile. I don't feel offended. No. Because the offering is not for me. The feast is not to celebrate my birthday or my
graduation.
Or no graduation. The feast is to celebrate a wonderful accomplishment of Christ. You don't want to do it. It's up to you. So who are you offending? Who do you sin against?
God alone.
God alone. What did he say? You got it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight.
To you only have I sinned, and to you only. Yeah. Because when you sin against Uriah, when you sin against Bathsheba, when you did such thing, you are violating the law of God. So, be ye reconciled to God.
Amen.
Not to me. Paul didn't say, be ye reconciled to me. No. Be ye reconciled to God.
Amen.
And fully reconciled to God. Right. So we all need to learn to do that. And then we all need to deny our soul life.
Yes.
Don't get offended so easily. Yeah. Don't get offended so easily. Right. Because you died. Can you offend a dead man? And go to the grave of your enemy. He will not rise up to fight against you.
Yeah.
Not even his ghost. There is no such thing.
Yes.
That his ghost will rise up to quarrel with you and haunt you at night. But I tell you, you'll be hunting yourself at night. I'm going ha 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 again. But hey, you know, dear saints, no, learn. You have to learn to deny your soul.
Amen.
In my whole life, I've been called with so many names, and today you can call me anything you like, and I don't think I can so easily be offended. Learn to deny your soul life. The Lord said, if you want to follow me, the first thing you need to do is to deny yourself.
Amen.
Then you pick up your cross and you follow me.
Amen.
And that's it. If you're following the Lord, nothing matters. Isn't it true?
Yes.
But if you're not following the Lord, you're for yourself, everything matters. Everything matters. So, in order to prepare for the Lord's coming, because there is a judgment seat of Christ, learn to keep the Feast of Atonement, the Feast of Reconciliation with God.
Yes.
With God. Confess your sins to God like David in Psalm 51, and all the troubles will be over. And do it from your heart. Do it with a real repentance,
yes,
meaning to say you make a U-turn and turn back.
Amen.
It's not just saying I'm sorry. The word repentance means a turning, a change of mind. That's what a quick word means. You cannot say, oh, okay, I'm sorry, but you keep on going the wrong direction. That is not repentance. I don't know what that is. But the word repentance means to change your mind and turn, make a turn, make a U-turn. Right. So that is very important. And then to keep the Feast of the Tabernacle. Don't be rooted and grounded in this world. Don't feel so comfortable in this world. You know, Mary and I, we have been traveling a month and a half in the Far East, not staying at our home. Carrying the luggage, packing and packing, packing, packing and packing, packing. Goodness. And then sometimes in hotels, sometimes here, and sometimes there, and there, and there. Is that a nice life? You like to live like that?
It's tiring.
No, that's the right way to live. You're a pilgrim. I know he's going to say that. Pilgrim. Is that the way you live your life on this earth? And I told my wife, oh, we always pack too much. I said, next time I'm going to pack less clothing. But I never got to it because I always thought, oh, I need this and I need that. And oh, maybe it's better, otherwise we have to keep on washing all the time, but pack more. We always end up carrying too much. Oh, when I came home, looks like I'm on vacation. Now, there's a song that says, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. But I don't like that song because, why? Because it says, you're going to die and then go to heaven. That's not what I want to do. But it is true, we have a heavenly home,
yes,
but it doesn't mean that you die and go to heaven, you know. But today we are building this wonderful heavenly city of God. Right. So, our life on this earth is just like a pilgrim. If you begin to feel so comfortable on this earth, it is not good. That's right. If you want to be the first fruits to be raptured and you are entangled by all of these things in the world, you'll be like Lot's wife. Oh, don't tell me I'm giving you pressure. I'm giving you the real pleasure. Right. May the Lord really help us to see this.
Amen.
And the Lord told them, do not forget you came out of Egypt.
Yes.
And many times we forget.
Yeah.
So the Lord's table should remind us, because we are keeping the last three feasts as well.
Yeah.
Although the time is farther apart between the first feast and the feast of Pentecost is only 50 days. But between the feast of Pentecost and the last three feasts, it is 6 months, much longer. So here we are waiting. Why this feast? Because it shows that the Lord is not here yet physically. It's not that he's not here, but he's not here physically to drink this cup with you. He says, until I come again in my Father's kingdom.
Amen.
That's why when we are feasting here, we are yearning for his coming back.
Yes.
He says, Lord, when are you coming back to feast with us and drink this wonderful cup with us? He is longing to come back. But are we longing for him to come back? Right. So may the Lord open our eyes to see this wonderful way of keeping the feasts through the Lord's table. And when do you bring the offerings? Feasting time. And in the Old Testament days, the feasting time is only 3 times a year. Now, in the New Testament age, how often do you celebrate the table?
Once a week. Yeah.
And when do you bring the offering?
Right after the Lord's table.
Right. Isn't it written?
Yes.
It is written.
Wonderful. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.